God hasn't called me to anything. But if he has, then I can't fail. I can't fail. I'm going forward, and I'm going to have everything I'm saying is going to be mine if he's called me to it. If he hasn't, I'd rather die trying than let something like this pass me by, as far as I'm concerned. So you know, as my motivation. It's like, if not, I'm going to die trying. I'm going to die trying. Okay, so then he talks about, you know, the women of old. And, you know, of old they obeyed their husbands. They adorned themselves being in subjection to their husbands. Because they trusted in God. You trust in God, then obey your husband. Sarah called her husband Lord. Can you imagine if, you know, you're sitting down with a couple, and, you know, maybe someone new in your neighborhood, you met them, and they sit down, and the wife refers to her husband as, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Master." What a strange thing that would seem to be. Certainly in our country, you know. I mean, even in, you know, you go back 500 years, that was common in Western civilization, I think. Certainly among certain classes, you know. Because, you know, some things in the scriptures manage to get out even when the scriptures aren't being read by most people, you know. And yeah, when the society is being dominated by men, they're going to push these scriptures about the women subjecting themselves. Not remembering also that we have an even greater commandment on us as men. With greater responsibility, with greater, you know, power, always comes more responsibility. When you are made, put over someone. Now, you know, like when we were studying James, he said, "Be not many masters. Don't be a lot of teachers." Do you know why? Because there's a greater judgment. And a husband, you want your wife to obey you? Now you dwell under greater judgment. Because you're not, you know, it's just like a house. And let's say, and then, you know, and the master is committing some crime and the slaves don't necessarily know, but he uses them. Right? The judgment comes to the master. And even if his slaves go astray, he can be held accountable for what they've done. Because he hasn't properly disciplined them, or he hasn't properly, you know, it's like, you know, if your children, you know, they talk about holding parents accountable. And God holds men accountable. Just as Christ is accountable for his spouse. I mean, he's our Savior. Salvation is of God. God is working salvation. He says, "Of those that you gave me, I have lost none." Verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You know, you dwell with your wives according to knowledge. See, there's a knowledge, a meekness of wisdom, in which a godly man orders himself towards his wife. Again, it's not, you know, women hear, oh, they got to obey their husbands, and they think, oh, I got to obey him, you know, and they, okay, well, they're stumbling at that. But the men hear it, and they say, oh, she's got to obey me. That wasn't even your commandment. Your commandment wasn't, husbands, cause your wives to be submissive. Though, to some degree, sometimes they have to be instructed in these things. If they're godly women, they should be teachable in that regard. But we need to dwell with them according to knowledge, not according to ignorance. And I guess, I mean, all those things that I've said so far, you know, the way in which you have to be First, you have to be better. But just like Jesus, in order to have disciples, he had to be greater than his disciples. In order for him to be Lord, he had to be worthy of being Lord. So it is my responsibility as a husband to be worthy of my wife's subjection, lest I fall in, I'll fall into condemnation. Because then look at it. It's like she's submitting herself to me, even though I'm wicked. You know, that then now that submission becomes like a testimony against me. Honor the wife. I said, honor is sort of a word that is a little flexible. Because what it really indicates is rendering to someone what they're due. In the sense of, in a good sense, you know. Not in the, like, rewarding the wicked is the way God does. I honor you with the lake of fire. No. It is, like for children, it says, honor your parents. It means to obey them. That's what they owe their parents, is to obey. And respect, you know. And when your parents get old, you know, honest, adult children don't have to, well, once they move out and get, they're married, and they're raising their own families, they're not reflexively required to obey their parents anymore. Not, certainly not, you know, not like a, come over here and mow my grass. It's like, man, I got my own responsibilities now. It's time for, I moved on. You know, you need to do that with your kids. That now you've, it's not time for, you need to let your child grow up. Because they're not a child anymore. See, we are under tutors and governors when we're children. Our fathers, when we were children, they chastened us. But eventually we grow up. And what then? Paul, and when we covered Timothy, we covered this. Because he says, when the younger children, they obey. But when your parents get old, part of honoring them is to see to it that they don't starve to death or freeze to death, or, you know, that they don't go naked or destitute. You know, you have a certain responsibility to take care of them the way they took care of you. But, again, according to knowledge, so we give honor to our wives. She has certain things due to her. You know, she's your wife. Honor, think of the way Christ honors the church and gives it all things.